Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, and this is very, very cool. It is the debut on our show, Clinton Camla, of Stern Talk on a Reaction Tuesday presented by Coors Light. Call the show, 713-572-4610. Houston, we want to hear from you. We want to be that shoulder to cry on. We want to try to give you some optimism and encouragement because the offense was fantastic last night. The defense, not so much in that second half. But, Clint, hit him with Stern Talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, here's the deal. It's first and 10 at Houston's 25. They have no timeouts. There's 50 seconds left in the game. And this is what happens on the first play to Hopkins down the sideline.
First down, Texans at the Houston 25. Watson in the gun. Texans down 6, 50 seconds to go. Deshaun gets the snap. Four-man rush. Watson stepping up. He heaves it downfield to his left, and he's got DeAndre Hopkins, who's wrestled out of bounds in Saints territory. Wow, at the 37-yard line. What a play!
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, I don't know how in this situation you don't have a defense called up and coached up to a point of you don't let anybody behind you, much less the best receiver, the best deep receiver, the best shot-taking or shot-receiving receiver in this league. Here's the deal. The Texans come out in a 3-by-1 formation. They've got three receivers to the right, which is Jordan Akins, closest to the tackle, and then Kenny Steeles, and then outside is Will Fuller, and then hard left by himself to the boundary is the best receiver in all of football, Nuke Hopkins. And he is pressed by one of the better corners in the league, Marshawn Lattimore, and there's a safety somewhat over the top. And so it's clear that Deshaun Watson wants to take the shot to Hopkins. There's no doubt about it. And Hopkins does a phenomenal job. What makes this play is he releases hard inside. When the corner's pressed, he releases hard inside, and he is running his route off of that safety. Nuke Hopkins runs a lot of crossing, deep crossing routes. He runs a lot of deep out routes. And so that safety made the mistake of settling his feet. And so now Hopkins is in a position where he's got 10 to 12 yards to the sideline, and he's behind both the corner and the safety. And Deshaun Watson does a tremendous job, again, driving the football downfield at 25 or 30 yards deep and absolutely putting it on the button. A couple of things up front that were big. I thought Duke Johnson stepped up and helped the left tackle Laremy Tunsil and left guard Kelamete in the blocking scheme right there was a big part of it. And then Kelamete actually came off late and saved Deshaun Watson from getting hit as he was throwing the football. So a lot of good things up front, and several guys dropped into coverage, but when you've got the best in football, the best receiver in football, and one of, if not the best mid-range thrower in the game, you can do things like this, Rick.
Clint, you know what I loved about that play was Hopkins catches it, and as he's sort of spinning and being tackled, he's just got that ball with one hand, right? You remember that part of that play?
Yeah, goes up and gets it with big grips and big mitts, as he always does. And you're talking about a guy that in a situation had already dropped two or three balls. He dropped more balls last night by halftime than he did all year last year.
He had none last year.
Which was 3-0. So he struggled early in the game, and then he comes out. And again, when the lights are the brightest and the biggest moment of the game, him and Deshaun Watson are able to connect deep down the sideline. Now, that takes time to do that. So these guys up front, particularly on the left side, did a great job protecting and allowing Deshaun Watson the space to make that throw deep down the sideline.
So clutch, man. He dropped it right in the bucket. Tremendous touch on that pass, and that set up this play. First and 10 at the New Orleans 37. 37 seconds left. Hit it.
On first down from the Saints 37, here's the snap. Deshaun firing downfield, and he's got a man. Stills. Touchdown, Houston. Oh, my goodness.
That's the play that Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator for the Saints, would have been fired for had he not had a Hall of Fame quarterback and Hall of Fame play caller opposite. So what happens here is you get the same exact formation. You get three receivers to your right. Again, it's Jordan Akins, it's Kenny Steeles in the slot, and then out wide is Will Fuller, and you get Nuke Hopkins to your left as the boundary receiver. What happens here is the Saints decide to give a little bit different look and kind of dance around at the line of scrimmage, have multiple guys moving, some come, some bail, and Nuke Hopkins runs that deep crosser that I just told you they like to run. The Texans love to run in this type of scenario. When they need chunk plays, they love to run that deep crosser. So they run Nuke Hopkins on a deep crosser, and they run Akins from the right on a deep crosser, and those guys essentially have a scissors effect in the middle of the field. The crazy thing here is the safety that bailed to the middle that you think in this situation would be deeper than the deepest. I thought last night when I watched the game that he bit on Nuke Hopkins across the middle. He doesn't. He takes over Akins on the deep crossing route to where it pulls him completely out of the middle of the field, and Kenny Steeles is one-on-one with essentially a nickel cover guy. So the third best cornerback for the New Orleans Saints is covering Kenny Steeles with no deep help. Very similar to Aaron Colvin covering Ted Ginn Jr. with no deep help on the third and four big 40-yard gain that you saw. Same exact setup to where that nickel defender has no help deep and has zero chance. This defense never should have been put in this position. Today, I'm sure that nickel defender's getting – I'm sure he's getting blown up. I'm sure he's getting hit from all angles today. But when it's all said and done, Dennis Allen, that defensive coordinator, should have never put him in that position. Here's what you heard Bill O'Brien talking about with Deshaun Watson, is that he knew that there was a free blitzer to his left side. He knew that guy was unaccounted for. So he takes the snap. He drifts two or three steps to his right to buy that split second to make that throw, to allow Kenny Steeles the time to get inside and over the top and make that throw. So big time by the protection as well. They held their ground. They gave Deshaun Watson plenty of room to throw it. And Deshaun Watson, recognizing what was going on with that blitz weak side to drift and buy time, absolutely was money. It shows the poise that Bill O'Brien was talking about, the fact that he lives for these big moments and he's clutch. And then it just highlighted the fact that we've been talking about his ability to drive the football down the field like no other. He does it on a dime. Missing that throw was not an option for Deshaun Watson, and he put it on a dime. Big time throw. Great read and recognition by Kenny Steeles and the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and big-time execution in a big-time moment.
It's Stern Talk on Clint and Camelon, Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. How about Kenny Steeles in his first game in a Texans uniform, coming up with a play like that in his old stomping grounds against his former team that he started his NFL career with? Could have been a game winner, but just overall, I mean, he comes over in the Laramie Tunsil trade, Clint. Is a bit of an afterthought to some, not to us. We've been talking about Kenny Steeles and what impact he's going to have on this offense. But game one, to do that, it's amazing.
Yeah, look, I mean, he had a big-time game, and there's no doubt about it. To be able to get in a game and be a factor in the game, much less be to catch what everybody at the time thought was the game-winning touchdown in dramatic fashion, is I would think head over heels above what he expected from himself and what the Texans expected him to be in game one. So again, another extremely bright spot, another really, really good acquisition that could end up being extremely valuable and push that Laramie Tunsil for two first-round picks into a great move if Kenny Steeles ends up making plays like he made last night throughout the season. And so, yeah, look, Kenny Steeles is a big-time addition to this football team, and it didn't take him long to show up and show out.
So let's talk about, on Clint, on Stern Talk, the Saints' final offensive play before the field goal to win the game. Anyway, second and 10. They're at the Houston 49. There are 6 seconds left. And they got a completion with 11 seconds left. I'm like, Peyton, why are you not taking the timeout? No, he saved that timeout for this very reason. 6 seconds left. The play you're about to hear immediately bangs the timeout and sets up Lutz.
The Texans are playing loose coverage. I don't agree with this. This is too easy to get a quick completion. He's checking it. Breeze sees it.
Here we go. Clock counting down. drives it over the middle. They do have the timeout, and he gets it to the 40-10 gain. Surgical by Breeze. Absolutely surgical.
Look, Tess said it best right there. Absolutely surgical. Look, I mean, I want to talk about the drive, first of all. I think so the Texans go quarters coverage, which means you got four across deeper than the deepest. They're not going to allow the deep ball. They were a little tighter, as they should be. But the whole goal was allow completions. Nothing long down the field, obviously. Allow completions. Keep them in bounds. Force them to use the timeout. Keep the clock moving. You would almost rather a 3 or 4 or 5 yard completion than an incompletion because it stops the clock at that point in time. So great job, great execution up until the last play. Both of the first two snaps, that there was four snaps, but two of them were clock plays. So when the Saints actually ran a play, they went quarters coverage and they allowed the completion but made the tackle in bounds. Would you rather them give up 6 or 7 yards instead of, I think, like 10 and 12? Yeah, absolutely you would have. But all things considered, you've accomplished, or at least I thought they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, because I think at that point that Sean Payton's taking the timeout, and now they got to go to the sideline. They got to kick a 68-yard field goal. So you think you're in a good position. So let's move to the play that you just heard, the play that's on every network across the nation today, right? It's a three prevent. This is when they went into a true prevent coverage. It's three DBs deeper than the deepest. It's all the DBs to the left side were up pressed man-to-man, and for whatever reason, J.Jo and Aaron Colvin to the right were playing a little bit of a softer technique. J.Jo stood his ground, a little bit of a longer throw, so he had a little bit more reaction time if Drew Brees did throw to him, so I understand what he was doing. But Aaron Colvin in the slot is – look, I wrote it down. He's giving him 7 yards of cushion when Breeze notices. You heard Booger McFarland say, Breeze sees it. Breeze sees it, calls sticks. Everybody run an 8-yard stop across the board. It's a high school check, right? And then when the ball is snapped, Colvin is pedaling. He's backpedaling at the snap, and he's 11 yards deep with his hips flipped as if he's going to run at the moment when Ted Ginn sits down at 6 to 7 yards deep. There is 5 yards cushion on Ted Ginn at that point in time, and that's just way too much. And so let me tell you why, Rick, that I pulled the reins back on the Romeo Crennel criticism at this point for that particular play. There's plenty to cuss and discuss throughout the entire second half. But with this play, you had your safeties deeper than the deepest because you could not afford to give up a touchdown. Couldn't give up points, obviously. And your second line of defense, which obviously your first line was the two guys that were rushing, right? Your second line of defense are the corners and the linebackers. You cannot allow a quick, easy throw right now to where they can catch it, get down, and call a timeout all within 6 seconds. So you want to almost give them the 10 to 15 to 20-yard throw over the middle because it's going to take 6 seconds to execute that and call the timeout and the game's over. The one thing you could not afford to do is play 8 yards off, pedal at the snap, get 5 yards cushion on a 6-yard, 7-yard stick route and allow them to declare themselves down and call a timeout and get in a better position to kick that winning field goal. I think that's on Aaron Colvin. I think that was Aaron Colvin's decision. I think that was a lack of confidence on his part from being beat earlier in the game. I do not think that was a bad call. Now, you can argue that he should have been coached up differently and coached up better to that situation. You get your butt up there and play man regardless of what happened. But to me, that's Aaron Colvin playing cautious, and it cost the chance for the Texans to get off the field after a 68-yard field goal attempt or a Hail Mary attempt. And instead, 58-yard field goal is good. Texans come home after a loss.
Clint, I knew that field goal was going in. Did you? I mean, what was your feeling as Lutz is you know, standing there 3 yards off the ball? I was like, when they completed that ball to Ginn, I was like, the Texans just lost. I mean, I was hoping that he would miss that field goal, but Lutz is a really good kicker.
Yeah, no, I mean, regardless of the kicker, a 58-yard field goal to win a game is boy, that's crunch time. And so there's always a chance that guy would push it or hook it. But nonetheless, man, he clearly has ice water in his veins, and he hammered it, man, right down the middle. It was never a doubt. He was hugging the holder before the ball got halfway there. He knew it was good. He hit it flush.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.